All right, buckle up, everybody, because today we are diving deep into a case that is absolutely essential for any lawyer, especially if you're in the world of criminal defense.
It's a big one.
Yeah, we're talking Rompilla v. Beard. Murder, the death penalty, and like, what really makes for good legal counsel?
Yeah.
That whole Sixth Amendment thing.
Right, right.
Well, this case, Rompilla, it shows exactly how important it is for defense attorneys to get it right. No pressure. Right.
Well, the thing about Rompilla v. Beard is that it's not just about one guy's life, you know?
It's bigger than that.
Way bigger. It had this ripple effect. Like, it changed the way defense teams, particularly in death penalty cases, how they investigate and build their cases.
Okay, so paint the picture for me. We're in a courtroom in Pennsylvania. Ronald Rompilla is on trial for murder.
High stakes.
The prosecution is pushing for the death penalty, and they've got some serious arguments. The murder happened during another felony. There's evidence of torture. And Rompilla has a history of violent crimes. It's not looking good.
No, not at all. And this is where things get, well, a little shaky. The defense, during the sentencing phase, they lean really hard on Rompilla's family, you know, pleading for mercy.
Emotional appeal.
Exactly. But they don't do much investigating into Rompilla's background to find, like, mitigating factors, things that could give the jury a fuller picture, you know?
So they're missing a big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Potentially.
Okay, so Rompilla, he appeals, right? Claims he had ineffective counsel.
Truly.
And this is where the case takes us on a wild ride. The Pennsylvania courts, they reject his appeal. Then a federal district court, they actually grant him relief. But then the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, they overturn that.
Back and forth.
Total legal roller coaster. So it all ends up at the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
The big question, did the defense lawyer screw up so badly by not even looking at Rompilla's prior conviction file, that it violated his Sixth Amendment right to effective counsel?
Because remember, the prosecution was using that prior conviction, like, big time to argue for the death penalty.
So what did the court say? What happened?
Okay, so it was a close one, 5-4 decision, but they ruled in Rompilla's favor.
Wow.
The court said that the defense lawyer's inaction, like, not looking at that file, it was objectively unreasonable, meaning any competent lawyer in that situation would have known to check it out. And here's the kicker. The court said this failure to investigate actually hurt Rompilla by keeping potentially crucial evidence from the jury, evidence that could have helped them understand him better.
Okay, so we got to break down Justice Souter's majority opinion here because it gets really interesting.
Right, Souter lays it out pretty clearly. He points out that the defense knew the prosecution was going to use that prior conviction. It was for rape and assault, but they never even bothered to open the file.
Wait, they knew the prosecution's strategy and just ignored it?
It's a head scratcher. And to make matters worse, you know what was in that file? Information about Rompilla's childhood. We're talking abuse, poverty, the whole nine yards.
Oh, wow.
There were even signs of potential mental health issues, you know, low IQ and a family history of schizophrenia, stuff that could have made a real difference.
So the jury missed out on key pieces of information that could have given them a much more complete picture of Rompilla.
Exactly. And this is important for you future lawyers out there because Justice Souter ties this back to Strickland v. Washington.
Strickland. The case that set the standard for ineffective assistance of counsel.
Bingo. And remember, Strickland has that two-prong test. Did the lawyer mess up? Was their performance objectively unreasonable? And if they did it actually harm the client's case?
So did they fail the test?
Souter said the defense and Rompilla, they failed on both counts. Failing to even glance at that file, it's like a doctor not doing basic exam.
A pretty big miss.
And all that missing information, that's the prejudice. Instead of this image of violent criminal, the jury might have seen Rompilla as a human being shaped by all this hardship.
Okay, so big takeaway here. Defense attorneys, you got to do your homework. It's not just about showing up in court and making a good argument. It's about the legwork, the investigation, getting the full story.
Couldn't agree more.
But hold on, it wasn't a unanimous decision, right? Justice O'Connor had a slightly different take on all of this.
Yeah, O'Connor agreed with the majority, but she wanted to clarify. She said this doesn't mean lawyers have to review every single document in every case. That's just not realistic.
I mean, we're not talking about drowning in paperwork here.
Exactly. Her point was, this prior conviction was a major part of the prosecution's argument. So to just ignore it, especially when that file was so easy to get, that's just not being a good lawyer. This is where legal strategy comes into play, knowing which battles to fight.
So it's not about reviewing everything, but knowing what to focus on. In this case, it's a perfect example of that.
And you know, this is where it gets really important for all you aspiring lawyers out there. Rompilla v. Beard, It really forced defense attorneys to think more strategically.
Oh, okay. How so?
Well, you know, to be more like chess players, always thinking a few steps ahead, you know,
So
anticipating the prosecution's next move.
you're saying it's not enough to just react to whatever the prosecution throws at you?
Exactly. You got to be proactive. Like, if you know the prosecution's going to use a past conviction to make their case, well, you can bet you need to investigate that conviction thoroughly, looking for anything, any mitigating factors that you can find.
So it's almost like knowing the prosecution's playbook and then coming up with your counterplay.
Exactly. And because of Rompella, there's now a much higher standard for mitigation investigations, especially in death penalty cases.
I see. So we're talking about going beyond just talking to the client and their family.
Right. It means digging deeper into their past, their social history, any traumas they might have experienced, anything that can provide context for their actions.
So it's about painting a more complete picture of who they are as a person, not just focusing on the crime itself.
Precisely. And you know what? You see this playing out in courtrooms today. It's much more common now for defense attorneys to present these social histories, trauma narratives, as part of their strategy. And a lot of that is thanks to cases like Rompilla. It helps humanize the client in the eyes of the jury.
Helps them understand the complexities of their life.
Yeah, the factors that might have contributed to their actions.
But are we saying that any bad choice can be explained away by a rough past? I mean, where's the line?
That's a good question. It's definitely a nuanced issue. It's not about excusing criminal behavior, but it's about providing context, you know?
Okay.
Think about it. If you were on a jury, wouldn't you want to know the whole story before making a decision, especially a decision as serious as life or death?
That's a powerful point. You're not asking the jury to condone the crime, but to understand the person behind it.
Right. And that's what being an effective advocate is all about, you know? It's about using everything you've got, including mitigation evidence, to build the strongest defense possible.
So we've talked a lot about the majority opinion, but wasn't there a dissent in this case?
Oh, yeah. Justice Kennedy, he argued that the standard set by the majority, it was just too tough on defense attorneys. He pointed out that a lot of defense attorneys, especially public defenders, they're already swamped with huge caseloads. You know, they have limited resources.
So he's saying it's not realistic to expect them to go through every single document with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, especially when they're already stretched so thin. And he argued that the defense in Rompilla, they did do some due diligence. They interviewed Rompilla, they talked to his family, they brought in mental health experts. You know, he felt like reviewing every single file in such detail was just an unreasonable expectation.
I can see that perspective. But even a quick look at that prior conviction file, I mean, wouldn't you agree it probably would have uncovered some pretty important information? And what about the prejudice to Rompilla?
Well, the dissent argued that even with that extra information, there's no guarantee that the jury would have changed their minds. They felt that, you know, the outcome might have been the same either way.
But the standard for ineffective assistance of counsel, like with the Strickland test, it doesn't require absolute certainty, does it? It just requires a reasonable probability of a different outcome. And considering that the jury didn't hear anything about Rompilla's struggles, his background, possible mental health issues, how could that not have influenced their decision? I mean, how could that not be considered prejudicial?
It's definitely a strong argument, and it really highlights that tension between, you know, making sure there's a thorough investigation, but also recognizing the real-world constraints that a lot of defense attorneys face.
So it's this balancing act between doing what's ideal and what's actually possible.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Rompilla v. Beard, it really sparked this important discussion about those very issues. Like, how do we ensure that everyone gets a fair trial while also acknowledging that in reality, defense attorneys often have very limited resources? It's a tough question, and one that's still being debated in legal circles today.
Yeah, it's a complex issue for sure. Well, while the legal community continues that debate, it seems like the message for future lawyers is pretty clear. You got to be thorough, you got to dig deep, and you got to uncover the whole story, not just the surface level.
Absolutely. I think Rompilla, it really underscores how important it is to be a zealous advocate for your client. And that means understanding their life, their experiences, and how all of that might have played a role in their actions.
So it's about being more than just a lawyer. It's about being like a counselor, an investigator, a storyteller.
Well said. It's about seeing your client as a human being, not just another case file.
Absolutely. And with that in mind, let's shift gears a bit and talk about how Rompilla v. Beard has impacted the legal system as a whole.
Yeah, Rompilla v. Beard, I mean, it really sent shockwaves through the legal world.
And it's still shaping how defense lawyers work today, especially in those big capital cases.
Absolutely. Like we were saying, it showed that just arguing your case in court isn't enough for effective representation.
Right, you got to go deeper than that.
Exactly. It takes thoroughness, you know, being curious and really committing to uncovering your client's full story, not just the pieces that fit the prosecution's narrative.
It's about recognizing their humanity, even when they've committed a terrible crime.
Exactly. And that, honestly, that's the real challenge for you future lawyers, I think. It's about connecting with your client on a human level.
Yeah, understanding what they've been through.
Their struggles, how all of those things might have led them to where they are now.
Seeing the person, not just the charges.
Right, and that understanding, that empathy, it informs your strategy as a lawyer. It helps you figure out what mitigating factors to investigate, what evidence to present, even how to shape your arguments.
So it's not just about winning. It's about making sure your client gets a fair shot,
yeah.
A chance to be seen as more than just their worst actions.
Exactly. And that's why Rompilla v. Beard is such a crucial case to really wrap your head around. It sets the bar high for what real effective legal representation looks like.
It's a high bar for sure.
It requires thorough investigation, but also genuine empathy, which I think makes for good lawyering.
Absolutely. And for all you future lawyers out there, that's a pretty powerful combination to aim for.
No doubt.
So if any of our listeners are thinking, all right, this all sounds good in theory, but how does this actually work in a real case? Well, we recommend checking out Wiggins v. Smith.
Great case. It takes those principles from Rompilla and goes even deeper.
Really digs into what makes for a good mitigation investigation.
Yeah, it gives you really concrete examples of what defense attorneys need to be doing to actually fulfill their ethical obligations to their clients.
Wiggins, it's like the next chapter in this story.
It is. It takes what we learned in Rompilla and shows us how to actually put it into practice.
I like it. Okay, but before we wrap up completely, let's go back to Rompilla for a minute.
Okay.
I won't put our listeners in the hot seat here.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you're the defense attorney in this case, right? You get that prior conviction file, the one the prosecution is using to make your client look like a monster.
Tough spot.
What's going through your mind? What are you looking for in that file?
Well, first of all, you got to remember, you're not just looking at a file. You're looking at a person's life.
Yeah.
And your job is to find those glimmers of humanity, those pieces of the puzzle that might explain why your client did what they did. You know?
You're searching for context.
Exactly. Think about it. Abuse, neglect, mental health struggles, poverty, trauma, all of these things can completely change the course of someone's life.
So it's about understanding those root causes, the things that might have pushed them down a certain path.
Right. And that understanding, it can completely change how you approach their defense. You can use that information to craft a story that shows the jury, your client, as a human being, someone deserving of compassion, even if they don't agree with their actions.
It's about showing the whole person.
Absolutely.
So Rompilla v. Beard, it's a case that stays with you.
It does.
It reminds us that the law is about more than just rules and precedents, you know?
It's about people's lives, real people.
Exactly. And it reminds us that being an effective advocate means you need both. You need legal expertise, of course, but you also need human understanding.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And for everyone out there on the path to becoming a lawyer, that's a really powerful thing to remember. Thanks for joining us today for this deep dive into Rompilla v. Beard. But remember, the conversation doesn't end here. Keep digging into these issues, think about what we've talked about, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Come share them with us on our social media. Until next time.